brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome to this episode of Sip Suds and Smokes. This is our best of season 11. We're going to do things a little bit different for season 11. All of our best of discussions are going to be in this one episode. So hang on. It's going to be a great power hour of a lot of great products that if you didn't get to hear about them all, this is a one-stop shop. So we're going to have our best of Suds cast members to talk about some of their favorites from season 11. And then we're going to get to hear from Made Man Bob and the rest of the cast members to talk about best of sips in a couple of categories, including whiskey and wine. And then following up, we're going to get to hear from our Smokes cast about their best of products with good old boy Barker and some of those cast members. So hang on. We got a lot of great information to go over today. If you don't catch it on the first run, come back. You'll be able to replay this, take some notes. We have a lot of great information in our show notes about all of this discussion as well. So up first, we're going to have our best of suds. And here is good old gal Juliana to introduce this segment for you.
Greetings and salutations. It's time to wrap up our 11th season of Sip Suds and Smokes. Today, we'll look back at some of the beers that wowed us and talk about the year in beer. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Mike.
So 11 is one more fingers than I have in my hands, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that really is pretty cool.
Reverend Mark?
My, does that...
Oh, just he's all broken up over it, man.
Time really flies when you're having a good time with friends.
You okay, Peepaw? Yeah.
Good boy, Dave.
Most podcasts only go to 10, but ours goes to 11.
Do you need some senior beer?
Oh, wow. Well, today we're going to play some clips from previous episodes that showcase some amazing beers that we've had, and we'll add a little commentary around them. But this year has been a challenging one for beer. Declining sales with the younger demographic, a continually leaning towards cocktails.
Can I have that mimosa beer?
Right.
Cocktails, mocktails.
And non-alcoholic drinks. Mergers, foreclosures, and the lingering effects of COVID have all left their mark on the beer industry. But just as it survived the temperance movement, prohibition, and lactose sours.
The beer will survive.
Exactly. The beer will survive all these current challenges. And that, plus the warm feeling we get inside after two or three, is why we love it. All right, let's get going. So let's talk about the first beer that we thought was great, Dave. The next one that we are going to talk about is Stands to Reason.
A little different from the last beer.
Their smoked lager.
A Rausch beer.
Rausch beer?
Yes.
Well, and a Dunkel Rausch beer.
Yeah. And 5.1% ABV again, the 5.1 times 3.
The nose alone on this, I was hooked, and the flavor does not disappoint.
So this was from our Suarez New York style, Suarez Family Brewing takeover from May 5th of this year.
Yes, thank you for introducing
me. Oh, I'm
that.
Sorry, I stepped all over your little toesies.
Nerd. Okay. I love Suarez Family. I was so happy to get it delivered to El Grammy's house so that I could bring it home to us since it doesn't come to Tennessee. But it was a wonderful smoked beer.
Yeah, and we had a couple of really good smoked beers this year. Summit Barrique and at their Rausch Fest.
Yes.
You know? But that Suarez episode, that is probably one of the best flights end to end that we've had.
Well, this is a style I always find that is very difficult to pull off. Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
but they did it so well.
I can't begin to tell you how many smoked beers that we've had that just, you know, it's one or the other. It's they're over a kill, you know, they just, the smoke just bludgeons whatever was there, or it's like, dude, seriously, is there something else here? Because I don't taste it, you know? So it's a very difficult balance to always hit. And so it was really great that you ran into not only just a good smoke beer, but a smoke lager, which is not a very common thing that you would probably choose.
Yep.
You know, I would say probably the more common, you know, episodes or things that are done with roasted malt, like, you know, porter is probably at the top of the list.
Like a Scottish ale or something.
Or something that just has a lot more sugars on it. I mean, this is one of these things with a lager. It's elegant. You don't really have a whole lot of sugars to kind of mask and play around with. And so having something that's smoked in a lager, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 100%. And I would say that actually showcases the smoke if you get the balance right. Because, you know, the smoke porters that I've had, it's just too much going on both ends.
Is it chocolate? Is it roast? Is it smoke? Is it, you know?
Yeah. And it was a perfect balance. And honestly, I think it was a welcome style that we've neglected for a while. So I'm glad that they brought it out, and I'm glad that we were able to have some.
Just one more great brewery in the Hudson Valley area of New York.
Hmm. Yes.
So okay. Our rating on this was?
It was
a five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Beer number two. The collaboration between Barrique in our backyard here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Bierstadt in Denver, Colorado.
Bierstadt, home of the slow pour pills.
Oh, yes. It is their 7.5% Maibock. So Bill and Ashley from Bierstadt came out to Nashville in February, made some wort, had a good time with the nice guys at Barrique, and they decided to come up with the Maibock. It spent 11 weeks lagering in frigid temperatures in neutral oak barrels.
Define frigid.
Oh, I almost said something that got me in trouble.
And this Maibock is a waft of springtime with its malty sweet aroma and floral grassy layers.
Go, Mark, go.
Okay, so this was my favorite of all time.
And mine.
Yeah. And I love the fact that Barrique, pretty much everything they do is a one-off. There you go.
Yeah.
It's not coming back. Maybe it will, but savor it while it's here. And this one really hit the mark. Also, Maibock is one of my very favorite German lagers.
Yeah.
And certainly is my favorite fest beer. Oktoberfest is great. But to me, you know, the other fest is the Mayfest. And yeah, I wait all year long for these to come out when it's fresh at that time of the season in the spring.
And the fact that they collabed with Bierstadt is just...
really magical.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's one of a host of things, you know, that really was quite magical across the board for Barrique. Before we move on, our rating for this, real quick, was a five.
It was a five.
And it's so cool that Reverend Mark actually brought this beer for us to sip today, because, oh my goodness, this is so good.
It's still amazing.
It's really magical.
We had one more beer from Barrique that actually hit our shortlist, was in the episode called That's Not a Real Saison, and it was the Petite Sipper Sour Table Saison. It was a watermelon laden, just a remarkable, you know, beer.
3% ABV.
And to take it all the way home, they actually won a GABF medal, their very first at Barrique this year. Yeah. And so I can't say enough really good things about Barrique, these two beers, and just a real treat that we actually get to have these folks in our backyard. Thank you, Joel. Yes. I really appreciate it, man. Yes,
Joel, we love you. Okay, beer number three. The second beer that we are going to talk about is the King Premium Lager. This one is 4.7% ABV. Clean, crisp, and easy drinking as they come. Truly a beer of the people. They gave this gem plenty of additional tank time to lager itself to perfection. It's brewed with Bohemian Pilsner malt and hopped exclusively with German noble hop varieties of Hallertau, Mittelfrüh, and Tettnang. Cold fermented in their new house lager strain.
Impressive.
Oh my.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not terrible.
Not at all.
Okay, so we rated this beer a 5. And the thing that I really enjoy about Barrier, which was another gem that I found that I was able to ship to Grammy and bring down here to Tennessee, was that everything from Barrier was just spot on, really tasty.
Except their website, it sucked.
Whatever. Other than that. Okay, fine. Fine. But it just also proves that lagers were key, like, to a lot of us.
There were no IPAs in our tops.
Yeah.
That's an interesting observation.
Yeah. Huh. Just about everything is a lager.
Yeah.
Or wow. A pilsner. Almost everything.
Yeah. That, it was not planned at all.
No, yeah. It wasn't, but it was just the way of what of how we were drinking for 2023.
I am super shocked with that observation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it was a very tough year, you know, for beer across the board. But I think the thing that struck out with me with all of these really great beer choices is that in spite of all those challenges, we're still very capable of enjoying a lot of great beer. So absolutely. I hope that these beers will hit your short list. Go back and try them out and enjoy them.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some more than Maybach.
Well, but of course. Yeah. But of course. Okay. Good old boy Mike, any last closing thoughts?
No, be sure and check out some more really great beer that are on our list. We have a couple of beers that were not on our discussion today. Be sure and check those out on our episode notes today as well.
Reverend Mark, thanks for being here. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say I don't want to end on a negative note, but you know, we did see the closing of Anchor.
Yes.
And that's the most important 127 years of brewing in Sapporo sold them out. So let's hope that someone will pick it up shortly.
There you go.
Cheers to that.
Those Canadians.
Good old boy, Dave. Hey,
looking forward to season 12, man.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you so much for your support this past year as we finish out season 11, looking onward and upward to season 12. Keep on chuggling, and we'll catch you next time.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Now we're going to get to hear from our SIPS cast members with Made Man Bob.
Hey, and we're back, and this is our SIP segment for Best of the Year. So we're going to ask Brent, what was his choice for Best of the Year?
Thanks, Bob. Obviously, you've had as many of these as I have.
Yeah, I think so, apparently.
This is the A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength, batch number 2, 72.25% ABV, and for you math people, that's 144.5 proof. This is aged a minimum... This is aged a minimum of 10 years with barrels hand selected by master distiller Brian Pruitt and distiller David Bach. The second release of the series is bottled uncut and non-chilled filtered. It's got this beautiful copper color to it. On the nose, you know it's got some heat to it. Oh, it just like singes your nose hairs a little bit while you take it in. You get a lot of cherry, a little bit of hint of leather, caramel, some toast on there. Then when you get it on the palate, it's like this is just smooth creaminess, covers your whole palate. You get apple, cherry, get some roasted nuts, some floral notes. You got a really nice strong wood char. It just covers your mouth, and the finish just doesn't stop. I mean, I can go on and on with this. It's, you know, you sip it 10 minutes ago and you might need to sip it again now because it's, it is such a lovely one. I couldn't put it down. That's why I picked it as best of the year.
The only problem I have with batch number 2 is that they sent us a small sample, and batch number 1, they sent us a whole 750.
That is a problem.
I'm happy to have but maybe next year the Whiskey Fairies will send a whole bottle, please, and thank you. So you can try. Well, you know, batch number one was amazing, so you knew batch number two was going to be great. So
this is over the top amazing.
All right, so let's see what Justin had for his best pick of the year.
So the best pick of the year was Daniel Weller Emmer Wheat. It's 47% alcohol by volume, or 94 proof. It's non-age stated. This expression is named in honor of Daniel Weller, grandfather to William Lew Weller. The inaugural release of this annual experimental series is made with emmer wheat, an ancient Egyptian grain that's mainly used to make beer and bread. Archaeologists have found evidence of emmer wheat domestication over 6,000 years ago, and its symbols etched into the Egyptian pyramids. The whiskey was distilled in the E.H. Taylor Jr. Microstill at the Buffalo Trace Distillery. So this nose is like the best, like Blue Moon style beer and bourbon you've ever had. And that orange zest must be the emmer wheat difference on the palate. It's like bold oak, but then waves of sweet honey and fruit, baking spice and leather. And the finish is amazing. It hits different parts of your mouth after every sip. So I love this stuff.
Well, there's a lot to love. You know, I mean, it was a unique release and something that I don't think any of us are going to be seeing anytime soon again. No. I mean, you've seen the little still that Harlan has there. You're not making a lot of that little bitty thing. So
he's a barrel a day.
Yeah.
Distillery, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So, you know, it was when we got this one, it was a privilege just to even be on the press list for this one. So,
oh, yeah.
But the chance to try it was something that we certainly couldn't pass up, and it did not disappoint. So,
delicious.
Yeah, definitely delicious. So, well, we're going to see what did Harm pick? Harm picked for his best pick of the year was the Kleinleash 12-year-old from the Diageo Special Releases 2022. So we got some clips to play from that episode.
I think you missed the boat on this one.
This one is the one that just didn't.
This
just
is the best Kleinleash I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Kleinleash fan. This is the one.
Yeah.
No, this is a beautiful
Kleinleash. This is the Neo of Kleinleash.
I'm with you. It coats your palate like that.
This is the best Kleinleash I've ever had. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, Kleinleash, the general release is a 14-year-old Kleinleash. And I've always been like, it's there.
I mean, it's a solid whiskey. There's nothing wrong with it. But this, without a doubt, is the best one I've ever had.
There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing that recommends it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
This one. I want.
Boom.
I want to go out of my way to get this one.
Yeah. Well, that one was a good one. I mean, that one I still can remember, and unfortunately we drank all of it, so we don't have any left. So I wish we still had some left, but that one, you know, they're smaller samples, and they were so good, so those are gone. But I think he might have a bottle hidden at the store under the counter somewhere, so we'll see next time we get over there. And then Maury, let's see what it was. Maury's pick for the year was, I believe, the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon.
The first whiskey today is the 2023 Old Forester Birthday Bourbon at 48% ABV, 96 proof, and 12 years old. The Old Forester Birthday Bourbon is released every year on September 2nd in honor of George Garvin Brown's birthday, the man who founded Old Forester in 1870. This is the 23rd annual release, and it's aged 12 years. The mash bill is 72% corn, 18% rye, and 10% malted barley. The details are as follows. On May the 5th of 2011, 103 barrels were filled. They were aged on the fifth floor of Warehouse I for 12 years. In terms of color, color is rich, and it's a beautiful copper. On the nose, burnt caramel, brioche, cinnamon.
Talking to the microphone.
Mouth coating, viscous.
He's always trying to find words, so we'll cut him off there. So. The best part was is that he picked another one that he thought was one of the better ones of the year, but he wasn't on that show, so I'm still trying to figure that choice out. But anyway, so
it's like the multiverse in Marvel.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he put on that little Ant-Man suit and went, you know, right. And disappeared. Maybe him and Thanos are having it right now.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's it.
Thanos is cool.
Yes.
Anyway, so what's... We'll move on to our last whiskey of the year. So that is my pick. And for my pick of the best whiskey of the year, I picked from our friends at Aaron, the Aaron Single Malt 25 Year. This one was absolutely stunning. It's 46% ABV, 92 proof, non-chill filtered. This is a release made from a mix of bourbon barrels and sherry casks that were distilled in 1995. And have been finished for a year in sherry hogsheads. This is the oldest release ever from Isle of Arran. And, I mean, they've only been around about 26 years. So this is literally some of the oldest casks they've had. But and they've been killing it with all the releases that have been coming out lately. And we've all been big fans of what they've been doing. But this one was just special. It's just, the nose is just sweet oak. Nutmeg, a little bit of black cherry. That sweetness on the nose, a little bit of baking spice, and on the palate, hold on. On the palate, it's just, oh gosh, it's marzipan and toasted almonds. Get cinnamon on the edges of the tongue. I get mandarin oranges, a little bit of honey, a little bit of apricot, a little bit of fruitcake. It's just...
It's creamy deliciousness.
Yeah, it's just so good.
So fresh, so clean.
25 years, you wouldn't expect it to be this fresh and clean like it is.
Yeah, it's bright.
Right.
It's, you know, it's bright. It's I mean, we've had a few whiskeys we've described. Like, well, remember when we did Nika Days that first time? It was like sunshine. This one is very similar to that. I mean, the flavors are all there, but it's just so bright and vibrant and in your face at 25 years. You know, an absolutely beautiful whiskey. So that's my pick for best of the year for our whiskeys. What did you guys have for your runner-up?
I had the Four Roses small batch this year. It's great. First off, all of the small batches are great. And when you compare them, it's kind of like which one's better. You kind of need to have a lineup, but it's just, it's every year it comes out. I look forward to it. We usually get to taste it up there in Kentucky the first time. And again, we were able to again this year. And delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, like you said, the best part about it is everyone is different. You know, this year is very different from last year. And last year was very different from the year before. They're always great, but they're always unique.
Right.
Which
when
is
you,
nice
when you want to try to say that one is better than the other, it's like, well, it's really tough because... Yeah. You know, how different they all are.
Yeah, exactly. So what was your runner-up?
It was a huge shock that King Kentucky knocked it out of the park again. It was amazing. Full bright, full-bodied bourbon. And then Signatory Glenlivet 2007. I like Glenlivet as a distillery, but this one was just Glenlivet squared.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, Signatory, you know, I mean, that's the amazing thing with the independent bottlers. Sometimes they're bottling stuff from distilleries that is better than it comes from the distilleries themselves.
Yeah.
And we had some great, ones from them. Yeah. We had some great ones from Gordon McPhail. We had some great ones from them. So,
we had a lot of good scotches this year, which really, which really kind of surprised me. And I almost think that we had better scotches than we had bourbon. And that's an unusual thing for me to say that.
We've had
quite a list. And I mean, we've got a lot of stuff, you know, queued up for the coming year as well. So we've got some really stunning stuff, and we've got some really unusual stuff that's queuing up also for this year. So with any luck, once it all gets here, you know, the listeners are going to get to hear some really interesting stuff. We've got some new whiskeys from India. I'm on the track of some whiskeys from, of all places, Switzerland.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that ought to be interesting. And also, some wine.
A blonde whiskey?
Hopefully it comes with a watch. Oh, see, yeah. I'm thinking watch. You're thinking a blonde.
Yeah,
it
comes with a Rolex and a bank account number. Yeah. So that's our best picks for whiskey of the year from the Sips Crew. So we also do the wines with the Sips Crew. So we're going to go on to our first pick for best of the year. And that one is going to be, let's see. That one's going to be Harm. And his pick for best of the year was the Odette Reserve Napa Valley Chardonnay 2020.
This is not my style of white wine at all, yet I freaking loved it. It's not over the top buttery cougar juice like I would normally call this stuff, because it's actually more balanced than
that. Oh, it's much more balanced. Yeah.
This is like you were saying, it's buttered toast. The oak spice is there. It's like freshly baked brioche right out of the oven. And I got toasted almonds on the nose as well. And it's like warm hazelnuts and almonds. And then on the palate, you said brioche and peach. And then I also got lots of roasted nuts. It's a little oily on the palate.
It does have a little bit of oiliness.
Yeah. All that mallow. And normally I don't like this much mallow, but this is so balanced with the fruit that it's undeniably delicious.
Really did a beautiful job.
You can keep drinking this. You keep coming back to it. It's not like it won't be like, I've had one glass, I'm done, I'm full. This is refreshing and gorgeous.
Yeah, it was an amazing Chardonnay. It really was. And Justin and I were lucky enough to actually get to drink some of it at Odette with the winemaker. And it was better there.
Yeah, it was.
It's always, when the person who made it is literally sitting at the table going, would you like another pour? It always seems to get, you know, an extra. It goes up one tick in the scorecard.
Well, they give you the amazing, fruits and cheeses and salami that just make it even better. They know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, but that Odette was, well, look at it this way. Harm actually, you know, reached out and tracked some down and actually carried it in the store as long as he could. I mean, that's hard to get. It's not on every store shelf, but he actually sought it out. And you know him, if he did, it's got to be some good stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Justin and see what his best pick of the wine of the year was that we did on the show. So
I picked the Camus Special Selection Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2017.
I've heard of this.
Yes. Yes, you have. We had a veterans release that was pretty similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15.4% alcohol by volume. The Camus Special Selection is the only wine in the world honored twice as Wine Spectator Magazine's Wine of the Year from both 1894 and the 1990 vintages. 1984 and 1990. Yeah. I was like, wow, I'd love to try the 1894 Camus. Wagner's really looking great.
You see how short my fingers are? It's like I can type at all.
I think he had too much Camus when he was typing it up.
I don't think there's ever too much Camus. So
yeah, I was about to say.
But yeah,
just the right amount.
This was an excellent wine. We really enjoyed this one. And as Justin said, they've done a special commemorative bottle for us. The entire Wagner family, Chuck and his son and his daughter, have been amazing, amazing people, and have really helped us more than I can possibly ever thank them for in supporting our charity work with Honor Flight. So they've honored our World War II veterans on more than one occasion and have been, amazingly generous to us. So thank you to the folks at Camus for helping us with that. And also thank you for sending us a fabulous wine to review. So
thank you.
So we'll go on to our next one. And that was Maury's pick for best of the year, which was the Dow Soul of the Lion 2019. We've done quite a few wines from this producer, which is Dow. So this is the 2020 Dow Soul of a Lion. And we've done the last two or
three releases up to this point, I believe. It's 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, 13% Cabernet Franc, 7% Petit Verdot. It's aged for 22 months and 100% new French oak, 15.2% ABV. The soul of Lion is named for George and Daniel Dow's father, an enduring symbol of strength and courage in their lives. First released in 2010, Soul of a Lion established Paso Robles as a rising star for world-class Cabernet. And I would absolutely say that is 100% true.
Yeah, before the Dow guys, yeah. The brothers, I thought Paso Robles was for mediocre wine.
Yeah.
But changed it.
They came in and
they're not the only producer making
world-class wine. No, Hope is out there too.
Once they came in, everyone else there upped their game. And they did. And we've been fortunate to try the Soul of Lion, I think, for the last 3 years in a row. And that 2019 was absolutely fantastic. So we're going to move on to our last wine. And that was my pick for best wine of the year. And my pick was from Davis Estates, the 2005 Phase 5. Davis Estates, founded in 2011 by Mike and Sandy Davis when they purchased land from the Savies family that had previously been part of a winery with roots dating back to 1900. The following year, they purchased an adjacent property to make up the 155 acres of the current estate. The original barn dates back to 1916, so they redesigned all the buildings there to actually look like it. The Phase 5 was 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, aged for 28 months and 225-liter French oak puncheons, 85% new. Absolutely stunning wine. I mean, it you drank it and it stayed with you for an hour. I mean, it just did not go away. It just kept going and going and going and going. And I'm still dreaming about it, and I wish we still had some. But unfortunately, we drank it all. So what can I say? It's been a great year. We've had some fantastic wines. We've had some fantastic whiskeys, and we're looking forward to 2024. So thank you all for joining us.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Well, we're rolling right on along, and hopefully you're enjoying a lot of these discussions. Next up in this segment is going to be our cast members for our smokes categories. So now we'll turn it over to good old boy Barger.
Hey, welcome to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. This is the best thing on at 2 a.m. Insert favorite TV show here. And we're here today for our best of 2023 cigars that we have found this year, whether it was made this year or not, that we've just really enjoyed this year. And man, we've each got three cigars for you. We're going to throw at you, and we'll only talk about one each, but we're going to have some good time here in the next 15 minutes. Today with me is my good old boy, Justin. Justin's not here. Edit that out. Good old boy, Benjamin.
Howdy ho, neighbor.
Good old boy, Nader Salad.
I was about to say, howdy. Have you lost a lot of hair lately?
And good old boy, Mike.
Yep, I'm still here.
All right, due to contrary belief. Well, let's just jump right into it. I am going to tell you my top three cigars for this year. So I'm going to start with a Time Out Habano, which is my number one cigar this year, wow. And it is fantastic. Huh. We'll get into that in a minute. And the second is the Wildfire Revivalist.
Mm-hmm.
Man, speaking is hard today, folks. Let me just throw that out there. And then third for me is going to be the Havana Castle Black, their house blend. That's a Cuban seed
with Nicaraguan binder and filler, and it is fantastic, and you can order it online from them, but they're only sold in Ontario, Canada.
Interesting choice. So none of those have the same wrapper binder combo, do they?
Nope.
Yeah, they're all three different.
Yep.
Huh.
Such is my personality. What do you got for me, Benjamin?
Yeah, cool. So the three that I have, and I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, the Cavalier Inner Circle, the Wildfire Arteus.
Great.
Right. And then my number one this year is the Lucione Habano.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, man, that's a killer smoke for me. That's
okay.
Damn near, you know, desert island. But I have smoked way more of those this year than I care to admit, honestly.
Heard that. Worth its weight. For sure.
200%.
Well, what do you got, good old boy Nate?
So my number one cigar of the year would be the Foundation Cigars Olmec Natural.
Okay.
My number two, kind of piggying the back off of Ben there, would be actually the sister to the Inner Circle, but the Cavalier Domaine Rouge.
Yeah.
And then I would say number three would be the Warped Nicotina. The Foundation Olmec Natural, it's a Mexican San Andreas Claro. It has Nicaraguan binder and filler. To me, though, it's just like a rich, desserty smoke. Even the natural, it's very flavorful, complex, cocoa, coffee. It's, to me, the double Corona in that, it's incredible.
Awesome. Well, what about you?
So we skipped a couple of things. Why did you pick some of the ones that you had on your short list?
Oh, well, for me, it was not only complexity, but it was ease. Ease of my draw, the light, the flavor profile. It just all around great cigars. And actually, the Domaine Rouge was my number four. So it was a tie between that and the Havana Castle.
Yeah, I guess I would have thought that, you know, we all have like taste profiles that we tend to like and gravitate towards. And, you know, I just would have thought you would have picked things that would have aligned right towards the word, you know, Petite Lancero, you know, for sure. And
if, tell you what, if more people would produce Petite Lanceros, there might be on this list.
Are you saying that there was not enough skirt involved with?
I don't think I saw many Petite cigars. Lanceros come out this year.
No, not too many.
Yeah.
So the cigars that you did pick in your top three there, was there a common size or shape that you kind of gravitated towards?
So the Robusto was kind of my go-to this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, seeing as in I'm running slim on Petite Lanceros. That's a shameless plug.
Well, you might want to go to like a Petite Corona.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're saying short and squatty as opposed to long and thin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure you can identify with that.
Yeah, that's you know, my MO.
Wait, what are we talking about again?
Yeah. So.
Girth.
I wish to register a complaint. Right.
Yes.
But I think, you know, for me, that timeout Habano, and I can't say enough about it. If you guys have not had a chance to pick it up, it was an exclusive in Texas, and it's trying to get its way out. So if you have not had a chance to get them in your store, contact Neil and get them in your store because he is awesome, and he brings R2-D2 with him.
So I wanted to chime in about that cigar from Neil as well. If I had picked three, that would have been in my top three. And I think part of the reason why was it was just, especially that product was introduced at the PCA conference in Las Vegas that we attended. If you didn't listen to that episode, you should go back and listen.
Absolutely.
It's a long episode, but it's definitely well worth it. And we talk about that cigar. But the thing that I really loved about what Neil pulled off is that in that room with that many cigars and that many where people had picked the same binder, filler, wrapper combo, his still stood out heads and tails above a lot of people that had the exact same combination.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you would think right off the hand, you're like, well, it's the same. No, it's not.
For me, what it was his, he's only got two cigars, a Maduro and a Habano, right? And there's only three or four sizes in each of them. I think three sizes.
Yeah.
And so that's all the product he's got. So he can focus on creating a quality product instead of pushing more things out.
Well, and I think that's the wake up call, I think, for not only those established brands, but I think for newcomers as well, is to say, Just because you're doing more of the same, that doesn't mean you can't be distinctive, you know, all at the same time. A lot of head nodding around the room.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about quality over quantity, right? And doing things the right way. And just that's just a general life lesson, you know, across the board. But I think Neil really dialed in what he would expect from a cigar and released that instead of doing some partnership with somebody because he wanted to get in the cigar game and that type of thing. Like meeting him at PCA, the guy cares, right? He still has that sense of, you know, grassroots startup, you know, I'm going to hand deliver these cigars to whoever will buy them currently,
right,
kind of mindset. And that cigar did not disappoint. I smoked it at PCA in a long day of smoking many, many cigars. And then Barger and I were fortunate enough to purchase some here not too long ago, and got to revisit those cigars. And what a pleasant, you know, full circle moment to come back and get into that cigar and go,
absolutely.
You know, I felt bad about having smoked it when I did in Vegas versus not having a clean palate, right? And really getting to experience, you know, what he's created there.
Yeah.
So, Benjamin, what was your number one and why'd you pick that one again?
Yeah, it was the Ilusione Habano. So this is a Nicaraguan Puro with obviously a Habano Claro wrapper. Obviously, Ilusione is not new to the game by any means.
Nope.
But they did do some rebranding and kind of shuffling of the cards of what is going to be more consistently available. And this Habano for me, I do prefer something that's a little bit more full-bodied and also like medium plus full strength. And this one is checks both those boxes for me. And this is probably something that I've enjoyed over this entire, you know, year of smoking cigars, is that like Habano wrapper spiciness is just warm enough, right, to kind of keep you cozy and keep you interested. And that's something that I've really leaned into and enjoyed. I've definitely been more of like a heavy kind of like Maduro style smoker in the past.
Sure.
And so just that little sprinkle of, you know, cool Habano spice has done a lot for me. And so this Ilusione, seriously, hands down, box worthy.
Just knocked it out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. 5 stars, home run.
Yeah. What about you, Nate?
That's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've been with, you know, Smoking Foundation since they've released their stuff in 2015. But the Olmec, to me, it's not an affordable cigar. I mean, it's around the $17 range, but sure, it's a cigar that every time I smoke it, it burns perfect. It tastes perfect. Somebody who works selling cigars all day, it's a cigar I like to light up when I'm not working,
right?
Because I know what to expect so much in its complexity, I'm able to actually relax and enjoy the cigar.
Sure.
And to me, there's just a lot of depth and flavor to it. You don't have to
think about it.
No. And so, yeah, it's a perfect cigar just to sit down and truly smoke and enjoy.
That's exactly my thoughts on the timeout as well.
Yeah. So like, is that a commute smoke or is that I sit down and smoke it?
I mean, the double Corona, the size I'm talking about, it's 7x52 box press. So, I mean, it's a long smoke. So you're hanging out for a minute.
Well, I had at least in addition to the Tom Al cigar, my top pick was actually the Aganorsa Anniversario, the Connecticut wrapper. That was a
great cigar.
Great smoke.
And I guess the thing that really just captured this for me was, you know, we were going through so many cigars after PCA, and I was moving in between things that I would smoke casually and then things, you know, to try, you know, to screen that we're going to cover here on the show. And this particular cigar just really captured my attention. I just loved how well balanced it was.
Yeah.
It had great construction off this. And I was so pissed when it was over. I was just like, oh my God, do I have like 6 more of these? Because I would, you know, and part of it, you know, is that you're going in between things you like, things that are just okay, and things that are amazing all the time, you know, as you're screening products that we're going to talk about here on the show. And I had actually had a couple of other things that I had enjoyed before this, but so for this to really stick out, you know, in the middle of a sea of things you're going through is always really rough. So
And remember, the Agonorsa episode airs December 22nd.
So actually, it's already out. When you're hearing this particular episode, you can hear about the entire Agonorsa, you know, product line. This particular, the Anniversario, the blend is Carrillo. It is Esteli, and the fillers are a mix of Corojo from both Jalapa and Esteli. So a really great blend itself. I think the last stick I wanted to talk about briefly was actually one of the sticks that was from the Boutique Cigar Association, and that stick that, you know, we had so many iconic pictures, and I don't want to mention the brand again because I think what was interesting about that particular experience is that it had seven different tobaccos in it.
Yeah.
And so many cigar blends that I noticed were very repetitive, you know, in nature, what people were using, especially for a lot of new sticks. And to come out and actually choose seven different, you know, tobaccos, I thought that was a bold move. I didn't particularly like the blend,
sure.
You know, but, you know, I thought that was an interesting observation that somebody would say, I'm not going to do more of the same. I'm going to do something very distinctive.
Definitely a creative cigar, yeah. For sure.
Hey, and speaking of Mike's favorite sizes, Petit Lancero, Agonorsa also this year happened to put out a 10x100.
Uh-oh.
So I think that should be up next on the review list.
Oh, that's a big cigar.
Yikes.
What do they call it?
The Lunatic.
There you go.
It's a Lunatic one.
Yeah. So
we'll have to do a whole episode on that while we sit and smoke the whole thing. I hope somebody's got about 4 hours to waste.
So you're talking about the Lunatic from Agonorsa? Yeah.
Yeah, because they came out with the N1 coffin.
Yeah.
It's one cigar, like $40-some-odd, and it's a 10-inch by 100 ring gauge.
I don't think we covered that one.
I wonder how it smokes.
On the takeover episode.
We'll save that for Christmas.
I don't know that was a sample cigar.
Yeah. No, we'll save that for Christmas for sure. All right, well, we only got a minute left here, so let's just go ahead and say, wow.
Yeah.
This year has been really awesome with the industry, with cigars, with gaining relationships and helping others gain their relationships and moving forward with this podcast. Thank you very much for your listeners. We really appreciate everything that you do by listening to us. Tell your friends, share the podcast. Go in there and review us. Tell us what you think.
We got a lot of amazing content, you know, in the smoke space this year, and that's due to a lot of hard work, you know, by Barger. And I think what I'm looking forward to is I actually see what's ahead of us, and I'm very excited about a lot of things that we get to discuss in season 12. So definitely check out, you know, what we put out in season 11, but hang with us. I mean, you're going to get to hear about a lot of great stuff.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank my guest, good old boy Benjamin.
Thanks for having me. Y'all keep smoking.
Good old boy Nate.
Keep it lit.
Good old boy Mike.
Hey, keep on smoking.
And I'm going to say I got ink on my hands from this ink pen. But yeah, keep on smoking whatever it is you're smoking.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike, and this is our best of sips that actually covers coffee. Now, we had a couple of coffee episodes in season 11. So this coffee that I've picked as the best of season 11 is from Haiti. It is Singing Rooster, the Sauvignon Zombie. And this is from Southeast Haiti. I think the thing that really struck me the most about this coffee is just such a huge flavor bomb. I mean, there is so much going on. You know, I probably characterize this as kind of a little grassy, you know, caramel. Maybe a slight hint of herbal spice is probably what you would get off this. But it's really going to have those awesome, you know, stronger chocolate notes that a lot of Haitian coffees are known for. And I really found myself continually just going back to this, you know, checking it out at different, you know, roast points. And everything that I tried, you know, be it a lighter roast or a darker roast, everything, it just kept on bringing more and more, you know, to the flavor profile. So Singing Rooster is kind of an interesting, it's a nonprofit that actually brings Haitian products into the U.S. They're based out of Madison, Wisconsin. And they bring in not only just coffee, but like art and cocoa and some other things, you know, directly, and actually funnel that all back to farmers and communities in Haiti. So it's kind of a cool, you know, setup as well. This is 100% Arabica bean as well. So it's actually kind of a larger bean size. So it's a 17-16, you know, a screen size. So you're actually going to get a lot of, you know, good bang for your buck out of this as well. So be sure and check that out. Again, Singing Rooster. It's called the Savane Zombie. My sips rating for this is going to be a 5. And be sure and check it out. Well, that's going to take care of everything here for season 11. Really hope you enjoyed all of these wonderful products that we got to talk about for season 11. Come back, enjoy those at your leisure. Hey, this is good old boy Mike asking you to come back, enjoy another exciting season of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.